el problema comienza. Se menciona la radice del problema que el observador de mencionó. So the person who recites morning and evening the three pulls, in other words, three times pull wallahu ahad, three times pull out of bin falak, three times pull out of bin nas. So the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takfika min kulli shay'in. Tafaseer al-muhadithin have mentioned ayn min kulli shar. That means if you read this three pulls morning and evening, that will suffice from all kinds of evil. Witchcraft, jadu, seher, black magic, all these things. If a person recites this with conviction and with yaqeen, then inshallah it will protect him from all these kind of things. So inshallah, as we sit today, let's engage and recite inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, qul huwallahu ahad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله احد الله الصمد ولم يكن له كفوا احد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله احد الله الصمد ولم يكن له كفوا احد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل اعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق اذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. In another hadith is mentioned, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever recites morning and evening, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم, three times followed by the last few verses of Surah Hashr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, وَكَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَهُ أي يَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint 70,000 angels to make dua maghfirat for this person. So our ulama ikram is to make it a habit. As you say, in the morning when we wake up, before we go and have our breakfast or our tea, so we put our 70,000 angels on duty. They will make dua maghfirat on our behalf. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. So inshallah we'll wait another 5 minutes and then commence. But inshallah whilst we're waiting, can discuss a few important masail. In the last gathering we spoke about the fara'id of wudu. We said that there were four fara'id of wudu, four compulsory acts whilst making wudu. These four compulsory acts were washing the hands, including the elbows, the whole wrist, washing the face, so the arms including the elbows, once the entire face from one earlobe to the other, from the forehead to below the chin once, and making masah of quarter of the head, and at least washing the feet once, including the ankles. So these were the four compulsory acts of wudu. That means when we say it's compulsory, that if a person made his wudu, and if any one of these four things were left out, then that wudu will be invalid. If the wudu is invalid, then the salah is invalid. So therefore, when we make our normal wudu, we make wudu the sunnah way. That means the person will wash his hands three times, will gargle the mouth three times. These are sunnahs. If a person had to leave it out due to a valid reason, then the wudu will still be done. Sometimes there's a shortage of water, so the person confines it to the compulsory acts. Then we spoke about the three compulsory acts of ghusl. When a person is in need of a compulsory bath, then there's three compulsory acts. The first one was that he must ensure that he has gargled his entire mouth thoroughly. And then the nostrils must have been washed, the soft area of the nose internally. This must be cleaned thoroughly. And thirdly, the entire body must be washed to such an extent that not a single hair must have been left dry. So for that, a person doesn't have to stand in the shower for half an hour or anything. A person, if he just stands under the shower quickly and rubs the entire body, he just ensures the water reaches all places, that ghusl is done. If of course there is any obstacle or any obstruction between the water and the skin, then this must be removed. For example, the person has got paint, got tepex, it's got some kind of a substance that's preventing the water from getting through to the skin, then this must be removed. Of course, if it's some kind of medication that the doctor has prescribed, the person has got a plaster, a bandage, he's got a cut, so he has to put the bandage over a certain area of the body, the person has been for an operation, now the doctor says ensure that water doesn't reach this area. So that is an exclude. That's an there's an exception to every rule. That is the exception. The person has got a broken his leg, so now he's got a cast. And you don't expect him to go inside the shower and wash the whole cast. Or every time he has to cut the cast out and wash. But Shariat is easy. So for him, all that he has to do is make masah over that area. He just takes his wet hair and just merely passes it over that area. Not even the entire area. Just passes it over. Just like how a person makes masah of his leather socks, the mozas that people wear. So the person makes masah only on the top and it is done. So that was the compulsory acts of ghusl, which are extremely essential for us to keep in mind when we are making our ghusl. Today inshallah let us talk a little bit about our salah itself. Performance of our salah, which is so important. Our different postures of salah. So today inshallah we can commence with when we are performing our salah. So first of all, when we come into the masjid or the musalla, we should make it a habit to come and sit in the front. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that had the people known how much of reward there is in the first saf, they would have taken out swords and fought with one another to get place in the first saf. So the greatest reward is in the first saf, then in the second saf, then the third saf. And of course the saf will commence immediately behind the imam. So sometimes you'll find in certain masajid, the saf starts from that corner, and people start filling it that way. That is the incorrect way of filling up the saf. The saf starts directly behind the imam. Then one to the right, one to the left. One to the right, one to the left. And you will continue filling in that way. So for example, the second saf is being commenced. Don't start the second saf on that side or on that side. Let the second saf start immediately behind the imam. And then one on the right, one on the left. The same with the third and the fourth. So this is the correct way of firstly filling the saf. So an important thing when we are performing our salah, let us try and come first of all early to the masjid, sitting the first sub. Of course, those who have got little children, then in today's times, one is we say, mashallah, here the musalla is small, the children can be monitored. But in certain places, you have a huge masjid. Now, the children, the little boys are brought. First of all, a child should not be brought to the masjid if the child cannot behave in the masjid. Of course, we won't say that we totally abandon it. But if we are bringing a child who is a little bit, you know, got a little bit of, let's say, nonsense up the sleeve, so then the father should take responsibility for that child. So bring him, but then what the father should try and do is should stand right in the end of the saf, in the corner, and put his son on that side of him. So he's got his son on his, for example, he's on the left hand side, or your right hand side. So then he should stand right on the extreme right, and on his right he should put his son. So in that way, the father has got the son under his supervision. Because nowadays, if the children are put right in the back, then what happens is, the one boy hits the other one stoppy, that one turns around and punches him back. The next thing, in the back of the masjid, you have a whole wrestling match taking place. One is flooring the other, and sometimes it causes disruption to the rest of the musalli. So it is important for every father to take it. Now you'll find in every masjid, you have one mota, you know, he is now in charge of all the children. Now he is taking responsibility. And now Bicharo, he is also elderly. And now he is, you know, high blood pressure that he is suffering from. So he doesn't have much tolerance. So sooner than later, he is going to give one tight slap. And then one of the fathers is going to get upset. And the next thing you know, there is a big fight that starts. So the best is that every father takes the responsibility for his child, or if the grandfather is bringing the child to the masjid, the grandson to the masjid, then he should rather sit in the back and keep his grandson next to him. Otherwise, it becomes difficult for the rest of the musalli. The masjid or the musalla is a place where we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the woman would be performing their salah, then we find that sometimes the little children will begin crying. Rasulullah would shorten his salah quickly so that it becomes easy for that mother, and of course it's less disruptive for the rest of the congregation. So that's an important aspect. Come early to the masjid, try and sit right in front. Then the other important aspect is when we are now standing to perform and to commence our salah. So we should ensure that when we stand shoulder to shoulder. Our heels should be in line, and our hands should be left on the sides. Sometimes you find a person while standing, that he's tying his hand like this, you're waiting. So this is not absolutely correct. The correct way is to stand with your hands on the sides. You are now standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are standing in a very disciplined manner in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hands should be kept on the sides. And then, when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, we should try and be in conformance to the Imam. So when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, we should immediately commence our salah. Sometimes you find the Imam said Allahu Akbar, then the Musalli puts his hand up, and then he waits for like 10-20 seconds, and then he starts. So as soon as the Imam says Allahu Akbar, we should commence. And when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, our palms should be kept in line with the earlobes. Our palms should be kept in line with the earlobes, kept facing the Qibla. For some people, they put their hands like this, some people turn this way. You get a different style. Some people got the style this way, some people do it that way, some people's hands are down, some people's hands are up. The correct way is to keep the palms facing the Qibla, in line with the earlobes for the men. They should be kept in line with the earlobes. And then from this position, we say, Allahu Akbar. We will tie our hands below the navel, tahta surra, it comes in the hadith, below the navel, with the little finger and thumb creating a ring over the wrist of the left hand. So the little finger and thumb will create a wrist over the left hand, and the three fingers will be placed above. This is the correct manner of holding our hands in salah for the men folk. So inshallah, this much is sufficient to commence our salah. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives the opportunity, then we will discuss the other aspects of our salah. But it is very important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, or Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, Aqimus Salah. And wa aqimus salah. In the word in Arabic, Iqamatu Shay. When something, when you say Iqamatu Shay, then you are perfecting something. So the correct translation, or the more accurate translation, would be that perfect your salah. So not just perform your salah, but rather we should try and perfect our salah. That the person is building a wall in the house, so he makes sure that, you know, he's got his level, it's absolutely 90 degree, the angle is 90 degree to the foundation. He perfects that wall. In a similar manner, our salah, we should try and perfect our salah. As Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was Amirul Mu'mineen, the ruler of 2/3 of the then known world. And he wrote to all his governors who were beneath him. He said, "Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. Man hafidhaha wa hafadha alayha hafidha deenah. Wa man dayya'aha fahuwa lima siwaha adya." He said, "The most important matter in my eyes is your salah. If your salah is correct, everything else will be correct. And if your salah is weak, or if you have destroyed your salah, then you will be more destructive in other things." So therefore, when we perfect our salah, we will notice this perfection will start permeating in the rest of our activities in our life. You find that the person who is perfect with his salah, then his affairs at home starts becoming perfect. Now he starts sorting out his own affairs at home, he starts maintaining his home well too, looking after his children, taking interest in his children now, seeing to their homework and seeing to their tarbiyah. This is the benefit and the barakat of perfecting our salah. So inshallah, by way of introduction, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq, inshallah. Alhamdulillah وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. وقال تعالى: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening, today was the first of Rabiul Awwal, and tonight بعد المغرب it is now the second of Rabiul Awwal. Therefore, it is munasib and appropriate that we discuss a few aspects related to the blessed and auspicious life of the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the leader of all the anbiya, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none other than our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, it is impossible for us really to do justice to talk about the attributes and the sifat, the wonderful character, the generosity, the kindness, the love, the compassion, the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is impossible. That is why the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, He had given the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in poetry. He said, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطُّ عَيْنِ وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءِ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He says, more beautiful than you my eye has never seen, or no eye has seen. وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء. No woman has given birth to someone more beautiful than you. خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب. O Nabi of Allah, you have been created free from any blemish or defect. كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. O Nabi of Allah, it is as if you have been created in the manner that you desire. This was the outward appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in itself requires bayans after bayans after bayans, just discussing the external appearance of Rasulullah. One sahabi, he said that I was seated in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a full moon. It was at night outside. Those days they didn't have the street lights that we have nowadays. So he said, while seated outside, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was before me. Behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my gaze was falling on the full moon. He said, I kept on comparing the beauty of the full moon to the beauty of the face of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I continued this comparison for a period of time until I was convinced that by far the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam far outweighed the beauty of the full moon. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Wa shamsuna tatlu'u ba'da al-isha'i wa shamsukum tatlu'u ba'da al-fajri. O kama qalat radiyallahu anha. She says that we have got a sun and the horizon has got a sun. The horizon, the sun of the horizon comes up after fajr. And our sun comes up after Isha when my Nabi enters. On one night, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that I was busy sewing. And while sewing, the lantern that they used to have, the oil lantern, the oil finished. And because of that, the light was extinguished. Now, whilst continuing in that momentum of sewing, somehow or other the needle slipped and fell. I began searching for this needle. Rasulullah saw me searching. He said, what is happening? So she says, I'm searching for the needle. And in that frantic search, Rasulullah smiled. She says, the glitter from the teeth of Nabi Kareem illuminated the room to such an extent that I was able to find. We cannot understand Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many incidents with regards to the mu'ajizat, the karamat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Impeccable akhlaq, you don't even understand. Such character is unimaginable. Prior to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being informed of his nubuwwah, a person had, we know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a businessman. He had promised someone that he will meet this person at a certain place to discuss some business issue. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was timeless. He fulfilled his promise, never ever broke any promise of his. He was known as Al-Amin As-Sadiq, the person who never spoke a lie, the person who was absolutely trustworthy. Such was his trust that even in the period of ignorance, people would keep their valuables in the safe keeping of Rasulullah sallallahu. They knew that they could trust him. That person somehow or the other, he slipped up. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited at that spot for 3 days. On the third day, this person happened to pass by. He saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the exact spot. Immediately he realized, he came and apologized. Now imagine, this was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for 3 days he felt that I have given this man my word, I have to fulfill that promise. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mu'ajizat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unbelievable, the kind of karamat, the mu'ajizat, supernatural act. On one occasion, Abu Jahl,
He came before Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had some stones in his hand. So he closed his hand and he presented it before Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, if you claim to be a Nabi, tell me what's in my hand. He says, what if that which is in your hand tells you who I am? And immediately from his hands, the stones recited, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. Abu Jahl, Allah Ta'ala sealed his heart. So he took those stones and he flung it one side. He said, oh, this is magic. This is sorcery. Believe this thing. This was the mu'jizat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His character, unbelievable. Such akhlaq, such character. We cannot even imagine this. Participated with the Sahaba Ikram in the battles. The pain of the Sahaba was his pain. When the Sahaba Ikram went through any pain, it was the pain of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran, Shari'ah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. A Nabi has come from amongst us. This is the great bounty and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in another place of the Quran, Shari'ah, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ بِهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. Allah has been very benevolent and kind upon the believers that He has created a Nabi from amongst them. This is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a great bounty and ni'mat. Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. Any difficulty that came upon the Sahaba Ikram, it was a pain upon Rasulullah. He felt the pain with them. He felt the pain just as they felt the pain. The famous incident of Hazrat Khubayb ibn Ali, there are many, many incidents, the one that is coming to mind. Khubayb ibn Ali radiallahu anhu was a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, those Sahaba who initially accepted Islam. One brother gave me a call 3 or 4 days ago. So he said he sat in a bayan and somebody spoke about the caliber of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So he had a little bit of an objection. He said, but Maulana, is Abu Bakr Siddiq so great a person? So I said to him, brother, listen to me. And I gave him a few incidents. That first of all, remember that the first person who have accepted Islam, amongst the first individuals who have accepted Islam, was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When no one was there, when no one wanted to accept Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was ready to accept. Yes, to such an extent that he received his title as Siddiq on the occasion of Mi'raj, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through the help of Allah Ta'ala, traveled from the Makkatul Mukarramah to Masjidul Aqsa, from there to the seven heavens in one night. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this announcement, the people of Makkah Sharif started making a mock of him. They said, look at this person. It takes us weeks to reach Masjid al-Aqsa. The man is staying in one night, he went from here to Masjid al-Aqsa after the seven heavens. And now it's definitely there's something wrong with this person. This is with the statements that were coming out from them. They went to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who had not yet heard the story. He was not aware that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this announcement. He said, now you claim to follow your friend. You believe and follow in everything that he says. And this time you can't believe, because you heard what he said. He said, what did he say? He said, in one night he traveled from here to Masjid al-Aqsa. From there he went to the seven heavens and he came back all in one night. Now that definitely you can't believe. He said, well, if Muhammad said he did that, I believe. I believe. On that he got the title of Masjid. I explained to this brother, I said, brother, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on one occasion, as Aisha radiallahu anha, she questioned Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone in your ummah who has got as much good deeds as the stars in the sky? Imagine the stars in the sky. Can you ever count the stars? One person came to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi. So some people ask foolish questions. So you have to give foolish answers, or you have to give them answers to silence them. One person, one great Imam, he was giving a talk related to a certain topic. So after the talk, is there any questions? So one person picked up his hand and said, when Adam alayhi salam performed his 27th Hajj, what was the name of the barber that cut his hair? So obviously that question now, what difference is that going to make to the person's Iman? If you know the name of the barber who cut the hair of Adam alayhi salam, would it increase your Iman in any way? So sometimes the people ask questions which are irrelevant and will not benefit the person in any way. So the person came to Imam Bukhari, alhamdulillah. Imam Sahib, you claim you have a lot of knowledge. How many people are there in the earth right now? So he said, the same amount as the stars in the sky. If you don't believe me, start counting. Start counting. After you finish counting, then you can start counting the people to verify. It's the same. Another person came to him and said, Imam Sahib, you claim to be so great, you have such knowledge. Where is the exact center of the earth? So he took his stick and he pointed it, hit it on the ground. He says, right here. If you don't believe me, you can start measuring. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Nabi Kareem Sahib, he asked the question, is there anyone in your ummah who has had as many good deeds as the stars in the sky? So Nabi Kareem Sahib responded by saying, yes, it is Umar. Umar radiallahu anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she became a little disappointed because remember her father was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. So she was a bit disappointed. She said, Ya Rasulullah, my father, so... Nabi Kareem Sahib said, O Aisha, the ibadat of the entire ummah put together is not equivalent to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's ibadat of one day. That means the ibadat that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu does in one day, the whole ummah cannot achieve it together in their whole life. And how is this possible? This is possible because remember, the first person who had accepted Islam was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The person who paid for the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu travelled from Makkah to Mukarramah to Medina Sharif. The camel was purchased by Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he was standing in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he was on the right hand side. Sometimes he was on the left hand side. Sometimes he went behind. Somebody, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, oh, Abu Bakr Siddiq, what's happening? You are so restless. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm next to you, I fear that the enemy may come in front, so I move forward. And then when I move forward, I say, perhaps the enemy will come behind, so I go behind. Then I feel the enemy will come on the right hand side, and I go on the right hand side. In this way, constant fikr to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That cave of thorns, he went to the cave and he said, Ya Rasulullah, let me first go in and clean up the cave. He went inside, cleaned up the entire cave. It was full of holes. His upper garment, he took it and tore pieces of fabric, covered all the holes. There was one small hole that was left. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you come in now, you can rest. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was exhausted, absolutely exhausted. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu placed his heel into the hole to cover it so that if there is something dangerous in there, it must not harm my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed his Mubarak head on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Imagine what a scene that must have been. Having the beautiful face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one lap. In that condition, a serpent or some kind of creature came and bit the foot of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The pain was so intense, but he didn't move his foot. He said, rather my life go, but I'm not prepared to disturb the sleep of my Rasulullah. We speak about love for Rasulullah. We haven't even experienced a fraction of that love. This is ish for Rasulullah. Until eventually, because of the pain, the tears started to roll down. And one tear fell onto the Mubarak face of Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately opened his eyes and gave a beautiful smile to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Of course, we can imagine that smile must have been sufficient and wiped out all the pain of it. He then placed his Mubarak saliva on the foot of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and all the pain completed. So the mu'jiza of Rasulullah. Now imagine, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then went to Medina Sharif. In Medina Sharif, thousands of people accepted Islam. Whatever ibadah, whatever da'wah, whoever accepted Islam, whatever ilm and knowledge spread from Medina Sharif, it all automatically goes into the account of Abu Bakr Siddiq. How many Sahaba Ikram accepted Islam after Hijrah? All of that goes automatically into the account of Abu Bakr Siddiq. That's why respected elders and brothers, we do not understand sometimes the person starts off a good deed. He's the first person to start off something. After that thing just grows and grows. The person purchased the land or gave a small percentage of money to some property or some land. He passed away. After that, a masjid was built, a darul room was built. Thousands of students came out from there. That automatically goes into the same. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this is why all the ibadat of the whole ummah put together automatically goes into the account of Abu Bakr Siddiq. This was the love, and to understand love for Rasulullah, understand and compare it with the love that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah. Such ishq and love we cannot understand. He sold everything for Rasulullah. He was among the wealthiest individuals in Makkah al-Mukarramah. His condition was such in Medina Sharif that eventually that Abu Bakr, who was the wealthiest person in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Medina Sharif, towards the latter part of the life of Rasulullah, such was his condition that to tie his kurta, he had to place thorns to tie. Once Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that three things have been made beloved to me. Three things have been made beloved to me. As-salah qurratu ayni. Salah is the coolness of my eyes, that is made, has been made beloved to him. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he got such sukoon and tranquility when he performed salah. Al-mar'atu saliha, a pious woman, a pious wife, this was beloved to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a person is blessed with a pious wife, subhanAllah, this becomes a means of great benefit for him in this dunya. His children then are brought up correctly, they become a means of investment for him in the akhirah. And the third was itar. Khushbu, scent. Nabi Kareem Sassam loved scent. When Nabi Kareem Sassam mentioned this, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, there are three things that are beloved to me too as well. He says, Al-Julusu Bayna Yadayk. To sit in front of you, Ya Rasulullah, is beloved to me. Wa Nazru Ilayk. And to cast and to place my nazar and gaze upon your beautiful face, this is beloved to me. Wa Infaqu Mali Alayk. And Ya Rasulullah, to spend my wealth on you, this is beloved. This was the love that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. To such an extent that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when he was about to pass away, he went and he called various Sahaba, paid them back, gave them gifts and hadiya, and then he made this announcement. He said that I have paid back every single Sahabi, but there is one Sahabi that I can never pay back, and that is Abu Bakr Siddiq. His ihsan upon me is such that I can never pay him back. Only in the akhirat I will be able to pay him. This was the maqam of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and fill us with the love of this companion and to develop a fraction of the love that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah. To make us understand, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the Haram Sharif. And whilst making tawaf, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was approached and eventually he was assaulted. Whilst he was in the process of being assaulted by the mushriki, this is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately came forward. He said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Will you kill a person because he says that Allah is my Rabb? He then came and intervened. And then they immediately turned their attention to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And they beat him up to such an extent that it is mentioned that all the hair on his head began falling off. Such was the beating that you could not even recognize the face of Abu Bakr Siddiq. They felt that he was going to pass away. Immediately he was dragged to his home. He was placed in the bed. He was totally unconscious. When he regained consciousness, the first thing that came out of his lips is, where is my Nabi? Where is Muhammad? They explained to him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is well, he is fine. He took a qasam, he says, I will not eat anything until I don't see the face of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was then dragged in that condition and he was brought before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he saw the mubarak face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his condition let him go. This was the ishq and the love that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and brothers, it is the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. It is the month in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. Indeed, we should celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, that we implement within our lives the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We develop the true ishq for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is that true ishq? That the person loves Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that he's not prepared to engage in any activity that will bring about displeasure to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment the person experiences some kind of displeasure on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately the person resorts to such an action that will bring about happiness to the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, we should make a firm resolution first of all. Let us study the beautiful life of Rasulullah. There are so many lessons, respected. Lessons of mercy, lessons of compassion, lessons of sacrificing for the sake of others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was his mercy and such was his consideration. Just to give you one incident. On one night, the 15th night of Sha'ban, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had received wahi that this night is a night in which Allah ta'ala forgives, grants emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu was resting on the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up in such a condition, silently, in such a manner that he didn't cause any taklif to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu. No taklif whatsoever. He wore his shoes silently. He opened the door silently. And this was the aspect of consideration for the next person. Love and kindness for the next person. There are so many incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he made this kind of effort and sacrifices for the sake of others. In the battle of Khandaq, I mean, in the beginning, if there was anyone who could really have called himself a king and could have had a guard of honor and who could have had a whole lot of bodyguards around him, and it was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what was his condition in the battle of Trench? Sahaba ikram came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was eating the food. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we have come to complain to you with regards to the hunger." They then opened their shirts and they showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they had a stone that was tied to their stomach due to excessive hunger. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and lifted his shirt and he had two stones tied to him. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ishq and the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is true love? True love, they say in Arabic, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. In this world we see the youngsters, they love a film star. That soccer star, that, you know, that person who is able to score the goals, they are in love with him. Now when they love that person, they want to be like him. They want to dress like him. Their hair must be the same. One person mentioned to me, but Marana, is it really necessary for us to follow the sunnah that we have to wear, you know, this way? I said, brother, my question to you is, how much do you really love Rasulullah? The person who is the ashik of Rasulullah, then he wants to be like his beloved. He wants to look like him. One sahabi, while sitting in the court of some of the kings of the latter times after the demise of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was invited for the purpose of some kind of discussion. While seated there, he was given some food and a morsel of food fell onto the ground. He went down to the ground to pick up that food, that morsel of food. So his slave that was with him, he said that you can't do these things in front of these people. Here now, when you pick up food from the floor, are they going to? He said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِ لِهَاُلَىٰ الْمَقَامِ. He said, what? Are you asking me to leave out the sunnah of my beloved for the sake of these fools? These people who are fools, and I have got my beloved on this side. I will never give it up. I will never give that up at all. That Khubayb ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was being mutilated piece by piece from the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, and yet from there went on to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Piece by piece he was being mutilated. Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim at that time. He came to him, he says, now you claim to love Muhammad. Don't you wish Muhammad was here instead of you? Allahu Akbar. Easy for us to say. But can you imagine that condition whilst you are bleeding and limbs of your body are being cut off? He says, Wallahi, I take the qasam of Allah. I am not even prepared to tolerate a thorn pricking my beloved Rasulullah. He then said, Ya Rasul, he said immediately, he said, Allahumma ahsihim adada, waqtulhum badada, wa la tughadir minhum ahada. He raised his gaze to the sky. He said, Ya Allah, you convey my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you inform him with regards to my condition. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated in Madinah al-Munawwara. From this you will understand the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his companion. While seated there, he started tearing. Sahaba ikram immediately saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them that Khubayb ibn Ali has been martyred. Allah. He has sacrificed his life for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba ikram in the battle of Uhud, Allahu Akbar. One sahabi, he sees the arrows being aimed at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One by one arrows are coming. He's watching that arrow coming. He doesn't know how to stop it. He takes his hand and he catches the arrow with his hand. He then pulls it down and he continues until he becomes paralyzed in the hand completely. One Sahabi, he embraces Rasulullah s.a.w. and takes the arrows on his back. He then thinks to himself, what a fool am I? Or rather, what a fool, he takes the arrows on his chest. And then he says to himself, what a fool am I? I am facing my back to Rasulullah. He then turns around and then he takes the arrows on his back until he becomes a shaheed. Hazrat Ubaidah, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when the helmets of the, or the rings of the helmet of Rasulullah pierced his Mubarak jaw, Sahaba al-Kiram tried to take it out, they just couldn't take it out, it had pierced right into the Mubarak jaw of Rasulullah. He then goes with his teeth, he pulls it out until his tooth is sacrificed. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sees that there is another me. He takes the qasam of Allah, he takes the other one. He then goes and loses few more teeth in the process, but he takes out this ring that has pierced the Mubarak jaw of Rasulullah. Sahaba al-Kiram sacrificed their teeth, they sacrificed their lungs, they sacrificed their bodies for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not even prepared to sacrifice a little bit of mockery. A person wears a kurta, somebody calls him old fashioned. He said, no, they will call me old fashioned, so I can't wear the kurta. The person wants to grow his beard, he said, no, they're calling me, I look like a goat. I don't want people to call me a goat. He's not prepared to sacrifice. He can't even take that pain. Sahaba cannot sacrifice their lives for Rasulullah. If we really claim to love Rasulullah, we are not being asked to sacrifice our lives. But we can sacrifice our little pleasures. A little bit of people, you know, they'll call you names. They call you old fashioned. People are doing these things today. Everybody's got a TV in their house. Why don't you also get one? Why are you doing this to your children? Your children now going to the madrasa. You know, can't you see these people how wealthy they are? And their children have got cell phones and they got this and they got that. You also need. We should never ever let us take things to ourselves. Sahaba ikram sacrifice their lives. Let me sacrifice this little for the sake of Allah and Allah. And the topic of the life of Rasulullah requires hours and hours and hours, and even then too it will never come to end. The life of Rasulullah is an ocean. Each incident is so much of advice. There is so much of lessons that we can learn from the humility of Rasulullah, from the kindness of Rasulullah, from the love that Rasulullah had for the sake of his ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with the tradition of Rasulullah. Amen. Give us the tawfiq that in this month of Rabiul Awwal we implement and we try every day. Let us try and get a kitab or sunnah. Let's see every day. Let me bring one more sunnah into my life. So inshallah, we can perhaps just discuss one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is, for example, the sunnah of the miswak. This was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To use the miswak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the miswak is something that purifies the mouth and pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person should try and keep the miswak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would consistently use the miswak. And of course, one of the reasons was that also to teach the ummah, ta'aliman lil ummah. We know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire body was such that it permeated nothing but beautiful fragrances. Beautiful fragrances permeated from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Safiya radiallahu anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the afternoon in Makkah al-Mukarramah would go to her home and he would rest. There would be a leather cushion, a leather pillow. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he would be resting due to the heat, he would perspire. She would collect the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she would mix it with the fragrances. It would become the most exquisite fragrance in the entire Makkah. Woman would ask, where are you getting this fragrance? There's nothing but the beautiful scent of Rasulullah. Those individuals who have the authentic Mubarak hair of Rasulullah. And we've even experienced it ourselves. That they keep it enclosed. No iddar at all. But after a few days, when a person opens it up, there's a beautiful fragrance that permeates. Sometimes the entire room becomes the effulgence of that fragrance, you know, permeates the entire room. There's one cave that we had the good fortune of going to see in Makkah of Mukarramah. During the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Kareem Sassim was taken to this cave. Very few people know about it. He was given an opportunity to rest at the room of the Siddiq and Umar radiallahu anhu. Till today, a person goes to that cave, and I've experienced myself, there's a fragrance that is coming out of that cave. This was the Mubarak Atarat of Rasulullah. If this is the condition of a rock, that when the rock came into the Sohbat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then a fragrance came out of it. What about that mu'min who will implement the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nothing but fragrance and beauty will come out of that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this. Love of the dunya, love of the cell phones, the cars, businesses, the wealth, we are taking out from our hearts. And when we say illallah, we are bringing Allah Ta'ala into our hearts. Consider the example of a person who has got a huge piece of land full of weeds. One by one he takes each weed and he pulls it out and then he replaces it with a beautiful flower, a rose plant. So this is what we're doing, we are removing everything besides Allah. And when we say illallah, we are replacing it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the rahmat of Allah, the ishq of Allah.
Both are simultaneously taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a contemplate
that everything around us, the walls of this musalla, every single grain of sand on earth, the ground beneath our feet, every single leaf of every single sheep, all came in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is why we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Oh my Rabb, myself, protect me, save myself, Ya Allah.
by Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah Ya Allah. He would forget himself completely. He was the Yaufi Ummati Ummah. Oh Allah, he would be crying for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he would intercede on behalf of every single Muslim, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, such concern and figure he has for his Ummah, Ya Allah. That he spends with respect, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Rasulullah, Rasulullah, Islam. One night, Ya Allah, the entire night he cries for his Ummah. Oh Allah, if you have to punish my Ummah, then you have every right to do that. Oh Allah, if you forgive them, Ya Allah, you are powerful and wise, Ya Allah. All night he cries, Ya Allah. So that his Ummah can be forgiven, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have not shown appreciation for this great love that Rasulullah has for us. He loved us more than our own parents love us, Ya Allah. He loves us more than anyone else loves us, Ya Allah. But today, Ya Allah, we feel embarrassed, Ya Allah, to emulate the way of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is confined to our lips, Ya Allah. We are embarrassed and ashamed of the sunnahs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We, Ya Allah, we find excuses, Ya Allah, not to practice on the sunnahs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. It is a month of Rabiul Awwal, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is an opportunity for us, Ya Allah, to ponder and appreciate the sacrifices of Rasulullah. His own life, Ya Allah, that is a sacrifice for us, Ya Allah. In Makkah Sharif, Ya Allah, sacrifices upon sacrifices, Ya Allah. Thorns, Ya Allah, thrown into his path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, first thrown on him, Ya Allah. Once while walking to the Haram Sharif, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, a woman falls ashes on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah. Ya Allah, one individual in Makkah al-Mukarramah approaches Rasulullah and then spits in the Mubarak face of Rasulullah. Ya Allah, how angry we will become, Ya Allah, if someone has to spit on our beloved child, on our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the Haram Sharif, Ya Allah, Rasulullah is called all kinds of names, Ya Allah. He was assaulted on so many occasions, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the filthy intestines of the camel were placed on the Mubarak, your power for you, Rasulullah. Ya Allah, he died, Ya Allah, he was stoned, Ya Allah. He was chased like a dog, Ya Allah. Until, Ya Allah, he bled so profusely, Ya Allah, that his shoes, Ya Allah, became clogged to his feet, Ya Allah. He walked, Ya Allah, approximately 100 kilometers, Ya Allah, in a scorching heat, Ya Allah, to invite, Ya Allah, to your Mubarak deed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Medina Sharif, Ya Allah, nothing but hunger, Ya Allah. Constant fear, Ya Allah, that the enemy will attack them, Ya Allah. Poverty, Ya Allah. Such, Ya Allah, was the house of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. That when he stood up, Ya Allah, his head would touch the ceiling. Ya Allah, when he performed salah, Ya Allah, in his room, Ya Allah, he went into sajda. Ma Aisha radiallahu anha. She had to fold her legs to his face. Ya Allah, in the battle of Khandaq, Ya Allah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had two swords tied in Mubarak then. Ya Allah, they give us the tawfiq to appreciate the sacrifice of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, today the same Ummah for whom Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so today the Ummah is gathering in India. It's the Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are embarrassed of the Sunnah of Rasulullah. A burden stands right in front of the Roba Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without the beard, Ya Allah. What pain we are causing to the sensitive heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Ya Allah, change the condition of Allah. It is not difficult for you, Ya Allah. We know, Ya Allah, that because of our sins, Ya Allah, that the entire Ummah is going down. Oh Allah, do not look at our sins, Ya Allah. Look at those precious tears of Rasulullah. Ya Allah, he cried and cried for you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Hajjatul Wida, Ya Allah, the masoom, sinless Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Zohar, Ya Allah, till Maghrib, Ya Allah. Crying and crying for his Ummah, Ya Allah, to such an extent that his entire beard became soaking wet, Ya Allah. His ihram became wet, Ya Allah. Until eventually the floor became soaking wet in the beard of Rasulullah.
Ya Allah, consider those tears, Ya Allah, and restore the dignity for the Ummah of Rasulullah. Fill our hearts with the love for the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu every single sunnah of Rasulullah will take us to Jannah, Ya Allah. Give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, to implement the beautiful sunnahs of Rasulullah in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our children, our students, Ya Allah. O Allah, be an ambassador of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, make us drink from the robe of the Qutr, from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Allah, bless us with the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, and in Jannah, unite us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, this obedience forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Our major sins, our minor sins, Ya Allah. Those sins which you committed knowingly and unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins, the sins of our parents and children, the sins of our brothers and sisters, the sins of the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, if you will forgive us tonight, Ya Allah, that Rasulullah Sassim will become happy, Ya Allah. That those brothers who had gathered in the Mustafa of Janet, Ya Allah, they had raised their hands, Ya Allah, and we have forgiven them. This will bring happiness to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, the only one who will become upset will be Shaytan, Ya Allah. Why should we be concerned about, Ya Allah, the satisfaction of Shaytan, Ya Allah? No one can question you that why did you forgive those brothers who had raised their hands before you and your sisters, Ya Allah. Forgive all of us, Ya Allah. Am sabki maghfirat karte, Ya Allah. Forgive all of our sins, Ya Allah. Give us the tawfiq to change our lives, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Am sabko Allah wala bana, Ya Allah. Am sabko apna bana, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Our lives are melting away like a block of ice in the sun, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, kadam su'e bangat, nazar su'e dunya, kaha ja rahe ho, fidat dekhta ho. Ya Allah, we are walking towards our graves, looking backwards towards dunya, Ya Allah. Give us the realization that we are edging closer and closer to our graves, Ya Allah. Suddenly the angel of death will strike, and then it will be too late, Ya Allah. Give us the tawfiq to invest in our akhirat, Ya Allah. Allah, at the time of death, Ya Allah, take us to Madina, Ya Allah. Let the Lord be with us, Nabi Kareem, Ya Allah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رب الحبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا خير خلق الله أو الله respect our souls in that occasion يا الله أو الله you are the small piece of land in the world أو الله يا الله مقدر أبي بيه يا الله نبي مقدر to let the angel of death find us. Amen. Allah, you are well and we all the good desires of each and every individual who has raised his own hands before you, Ya Allah, for your own desires. Whatever the difficulty faced, keep their way to Ya Allah, you will, Ya Allah. Give us, Ya Allah, birth in our wealth, Ya Allah, in our health, Ya Allah, in our tariq, Ya Allah, our children, Ya Allah, every single ni'mah in your country. Allah grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us. The rights of our parents, Ya Allah. The rights of our spouses, Ya Allah. The rights of our children, Ya Allah. The rights of our teachers, Ya Allah. The rights of our mashayikh, Ya Allah. The rights of our students, Ya Allah. The rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. Bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah, Ya Allah. Hawa wa his wa ala adhi mustadhi. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Make our hearts musaffa, mujalla, muzakka. Our hearts are full of lust, greed, Ya Allah. Anger, hatred, Ya Allah. Malice, Ya Allah. Jealousy, Ya Allah. Give us hearts which are clean, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana wa lana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammad wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun. Wa salamun 'alal mursalin. Alhamdulillah.